Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
Including Intuka, trying to smash it into one
and
word.
And inform you in the afternoon.
Tuka puked on his pad.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
There's a shot high and deep. He leaned on that, and it is gone. Machado with his 14th home run of the season. So there goes the shutout. Manny Machado with a blast.
And there goes the shutout. Is that a dinky way to begin the show? Is that a dinky? Is that a dink move?
A little bit.
When David Price throws a complete game, 2-run victory, and we start with the home run he gave off to end the shutout. Is that being a dink?
Yep.
It's the Felger Maz Show. It's a gender-free Friday. So, of course, yep, probably is. Everything from the week, anything we've gotten to or have yet to get to, you know the drill. I am already logged in. We have already released the hounds at 617-779-0985. We play the Dave Price two-run home run because, Jimmy Murray, what's your opening take?
Well, yeah, it was a strong outing for the Fortnite kid last night against the Baltimore Orioles. That's a tough team he had to go up against last night. Nearly got the complete game shutout. Under 100 pitches. You could argue it's his best start as a member of the Red Sox. Funny, though, how it did kind of get tight there in the ninth inning. You know that he wanted it. You saw some emotion on the face of Dainty David after he gave up that two-run shot to Machado. So it's funny how that kind of changed there, because to me, I look at that as an extremely low-stake start, just like his last one in Toronto, climate-controlled environment against another suck team. He gets early run support, kind of like last night. And even if you go back to his first two starts of the year, who were they against? The Tampa Bay Rays, essentially a AAA organization. So low-stakes start to me. Looking at this, great start. Good. I'm glad he looked that well. But it's funny how that turned there in the ninth inning. He wanted the shutout. Got a little tight, and wouldn't you know, home run to that team's best hitter. So what I take out of that is, yes, it's a great start. I hope there's more to come, but it's fool's gold. I don't believe that. There's not going to be more to come. Until he can do this against the likes of the New York Yankees and not tap out against that team, or the Cleveland Indians, or the Houston Astros, or even when they play the Nationals or any of the other decent National League teams they'll play in interleague games this year, I don't believe it. Last night is a fraud because he's a fraud. And I also think that there's a correlation going on here between how well he's pitched these last couple of games, because it's been post the allergy nonsense, post the Fortnite story. He's hearing it again. And how did he perform in the postseason last year, too, when he's hearing it? It just proves to me, again, that there's an issue with this guy in between his ears. Like, you need to motivate him with hate, almost. Like, he needs to hear it. He needs to, you got to flog me. Like, that's the only way I'm going to perform. And it really, it's been that way since he's been here.
It's about attention.
It is. So, on the one end, I'm so conflicted, because on the one end, like, yeah, I want the Red Sox to do well, and they need him to do well. But on the other hand, like, when I see him go out there, like, after this stuff a couple of weeks ago, especially the stuff with the cut grass and the dogs and the it's cold, it's hot, and I can't see, and are you using Tide? Because now it's really starting to bother me. All of this stuff, I'm out of business with this guy. Screw him. Anytime he goes out there, I want to see his face get ripped off, but I want the Red Sox to win like a 9-8 game. So don't buy into last night. Yeah, you'll see this against bad teams like the Orioles, like the Toronto Blue Jays, in low-stakes situations. But I thought it was real telling. In the ninth inning, watch that shutout, starting to press a little bit, and he gives up that two-run home run, because it did kind of change there. He wanted it. He put pressure on himself, and he kind of gagged at the end. So don't buy it. It's fool's gold, what you saw last night with David Price.
Did you do the same opening take, Miss?
Yeah, but that's all right. It's okay.
Sorry.
No. So that's one of the things that I, you know, to me, that's it's impossible to ignore what Murray was just saying. 6-0 at home, two outs, you're going for a shutout. Does that constitute a pressure situation?
And again, I'm sorry, just to ask, because you use your voice recognition toys on your phone.
Yeah.
To for our email exchange.
Yeah.
So your last email was Bible open with David Price. See you at 2.
By the way, I'll open with David Price.
I'm sorry, but that
don't apologize. It's a legit take, Murray. Good one.
Keep going.
Attaboy, Murray.
Yeah, turn to David 316.
Good. Great minds, Murray. Great minds think alike. Absolutely. Like, did you know? I looked this up after the game in Toronto. Attaboy.
It's a Bible open.
Did you know that David Price's career ERA in domes is a half run better than his overall ERA? And when you pitch as many innings as he had, that's not totally insignificant.
No, that's...
And so I looked this up last week, and the reason why I looked it up, everything's controlled. The temperature, like all of it, it's all in a controlled environment. It's fine. And I'd be willing to bet that most pitchers have worse ERAs in domes. That's why it stuck out to me. I don't know that. I mean, I'll look it up. But usually, cold weather benefits the pitcher. This guy's ass backwards in everything. But anyway, go ahead.
Okay, so my opening take is something I hit on yesterday. I've hit on several times. And I'll just reiterate it again. Patriots are having some passing camps starting next week. They are still voluntary, meaning players are not required to be there. But next week is when the team, full team workouts really sort of begin. Offense, defense. They call them passing camps. The media is out there. And I don't know. I asked you, where's Brady today? Where's Tom Brady today, Murray? Do you know?
The last post I saw was that he is in Brazil.
Okay, so nothing new on that?
Let me look.
I predicted yesterday that Brady's going to show up for these, even though I guess he's been telling people. And the word is that he's only showing up for the mandatory stuff. The mandatory stuff is June 5th, 6th, and 7th. Okay, so that's the only mandatory thing. The rest is quote-unquote voluntary. But I think even when he was in L.A., even when he, you know, spent a lot of time in the offseason in L.A. in 08, 09, 2010, that era, he showed up for these. These are quote-unquote passing camps. Offense, defense, quarterbacks, receivers, media is out there. So there are passing camps next week on Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. Tuesday, from what I understand, is a media day. He's going to be there for that. That's a prediction. That's zero inside information, as usual, because I have none. That is just me saying I can't bring myself to believe that there's going to be quarterbacks, receivers, coaches, offense, defense. Brady's going to be available to go. The media is going to be there, and he's not. He's gonna cave and he's gonna show up. That was my prediction yesterday. I'm just reiterating it today to open up an agenda-free Friday.
I feel like he's not coming.
Yeah, I'm with Maz on this. Can we make some kind of gentleman's bet? He ain't gonna be there.
Okay, we'll
discuss.
Yes, we'll discuss. We'll come up with something today.
But yeah,
sure.
No new Instagram posts from either of these guys. Gronk a day ago, he's trying to pull some teeth whitening nonsense.
Well, so here's what I'm thinking: that Gronk is spending the weekend in Jamaica with his lovely. Brady's in Brazil with the weekend with his family. They're fulfilling those obligations, and they're going to be here Monday, Tuesday.
I was going to say June 1st, but it's not June 1st.
No, it's whatever the day, the 21st, 22nd, 24th. There's practices those days, and the 22nd's open to the media. So I just, we think Brady's been sticking it to Bill. He really sticks it to him if he's not there on the 22nd. But then again, I've also heard that Bill says to players, if you're not going to show up for everything, don't show up for anything. But I just find it hard to believe that if Brady wanted to show up on the 21st, he wouldn't be allowed out on the field to practice. But on the 22nd, the media is going to be there. Brian Hoyer is going to be running through the first team reps with the offense. And Bill's going to speak to the media afterwards, and Tom's not going to be there. So it just sort of ramps up next week. The pressure ramps up. The ramifications ramp up. The profile of the practices ramp up. Everything sort of ramps up a little bit next week. And it becomes more of a story next week, which is why I think Brady's going to cave and show up. So anyway, that's my opening take. We're off and running on Agenda Free Friday, brought to you by Planet Fitness. The world judges, they don't. PlanetFitness.com. We're going to lead off with Luke in Worcester with the Celtics talk. Go ahead, Luke.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I'm really, really impressed by the development of Jason Tatum. Like, watching him in college and everything, I never saw him get to utilize his ball handling and passing ability. And watching him in the playoffs put some people on skates and driving baseline and whipping the ball across his body out to Malcolm Morris or Al Horford, whoever's open on the perimeter, I just really like his development. And really,
and I'm going to cut you off because your phone is average at best. He says, if you couldn't hear him, he's stunned with the development of Tatum given how he looked last year at Duke, to which I would say, thank God he looked that way at Duke. Didn't he go into last year as considered to be the leading horse in the barn for number one overall pick?
I mean, he was one of them, yeah. He was up there.
He was considered to be the top prospect, or was thought to be the top prospect. He was always considered to be number one potential overall pick. And then did he have a bad year or a down year? Or what? I mean, I don't even really know. I don't follow it. But whatever happened, thank God.
He got off to a little bit of a slow start and then played better at the end of the year. And there was another kid at Duke, too, that they were supposed to be 1-2, and the other kid had some knee injury history, and the name is escaping me at the moment. But yes, I mean, he was one of, regarded as one of the top two college players in the country going in.
So he kind of dropped.
A little.
Yeah, I mean, just enough. Right? And thank God. So whatever he didn't show last year at Duke, thank God he didn't show it. Because Danny didn't take the cheese on whatever regression he showed that year at Duke or, you know, whatever. Whatever everyone else saw to send him from a consensus top pick to something a little less is why you have him. Frank and Lowell has a Red Sox thought. Go ahead, Frank.
Hey, guys. Thanks. I really like your show. But besides that, I'm very concerned about Jackie Bradley Jr. Is there an option to send him down or trade him at this point?
Does he have options left, Mask?
You know what? He might. I mean, he might. I mean, it's not an unrealistic thing. I've seen it happen with guys before. They've optioned him back to the minor leagues. It's not, you know, you can do it. So there are all kinds of specific stipulations depending on when your major league debut was, whether you'd have to clear waivers, blah, blah, blah. But
let's say he has options. Is that a realistic consideration?
Sure.
It is. You think they would do that?
Sure.
See, I don't.
It's unlikely, but I've seen it happen. I mean, I've seen it happen to guys where they say, we need the roster spot. You're not playing well. We're going to send you down there for a couple of weeks.
I mean, I've seen it with a million guys.
Guys who've been, I'm saying is I've seen it with veteran players.
Established everyday players, which is what I don't think Jackie is, but it's what he's been the last couple of years.
Here. Yes, it's unusual, but it has happened. It has.
I don't feel they would do that to him.
See, I wouldn't rule
it. I mean, maybe they should. I'm not telling you whether they should or they shouldn't.
I don't completely rule it out. I mean, I'd tell you that, I don't know, what, 5%, 10%, something like that. But I don't think it's completely off the board. He's really bad right now.
Agenda Free Friday, everything on the table from the week. Brian in the car on the Red Sox. Hi, Brian.
Hey, how's it going? Yeah, so the free agent class this winter is pretty much going to determine who's going to have an active baseball season, who's competing for a championship for the next couple of years. The only way that the Red Sox have any shot at signing anybody is with getting David Price off the books. So,
hold on. Again, I can barely hear you. The only chance the Red Sox have of signing anybody is getting David Price off the books.
Off the books, yeah. So if you free up his money and get his $31 million off, then we have a shot to sign anybody. Because you know the Yankees have money to spend, and the only way that you know we can put money into it is if you get him off the books. So how do you get him off? He has to opt out. So make his life a living hell. And so that you know he's online, you know he hears everything, you know he's listening, one way or other, just make his life a living hell so that he opts out.
Oh, Brian, I love it.
He's not going to opt out.
But they would never do that.
He's not going to opt out.
Hold on, what if he hates it and he had an amazing year and can make the same money?
Well, if he has an amazing year, that's what it is then. It's got nothing to do with it. He already hates it here. It's all about whether he can have the amazing year. Like, and I'm just not sure he can, and even if he did, is he going to get $125, $130 million on the market? I doubt it. I think that his ship has sailed. Like, so I doubt that he's going to opt out. I mean, I don't think you can bank on that. I don't agree with them though that they don't have the money. They don't have the money to go out and be a player on the market. They're going to lose some money this year, and they have other things that they could do. You might not like them, but they have other guys that they could trade. Maybe Hanley doesn't trigger that vesting option. You save 22 there. Kimbrel's up. You save another 13 there. Pomeranz is up. You save another 8. How much should I just save? What's that, $43 million?
I don't add on live for radio
anymore. Okay, but that is enough to sign Bryce Harper or Machado. Like, so there's room there if they want it.
We are off and running on an agenda-free Friday. Join us, why don't you?
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
The Sports Hub.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
One team showed up, the other team didn't. The Boston Celtics showed up ready to play. Obviously, the Cleveland Cavaliers had some time off, but the bottom line is it was an embarrassing performance by Cleveland. The greatest player in the world right now, who walked into this series averaging 34-9-9, was virtually non-existent all afternoon long. Boston, on this particular afternoon, did whatever they wanted, when they wanted, how they wanted. They abused the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Rozier wide open. Cuts it in. A three-pointer for Terry Rozier.
The Cavs defense has been absolutely awful.
You got to rotate. You can't just stand in the lane and hope someone misses. This isn't the back-to-back. This isn't a back-to-back in two different cities.
It's either James or Love is supposed to rotate. They choose neither guy. Send a 12-pack to Ty Lue for having to watch that film tonight. He's going to need it. Because he might get... If you have to beg your guys to
to give effort like on those plays when it's not going good, you're hoping against hope. Like, there should be no question about your effort.
They've got to be embarrassed. He's more passionate about their lack of energy and effort than they seem to be.
The Cavs eye roll each other more than a couple in a bad marriage. I think Boston's clearly the better team. There's no shame in losing to a better team. They owe themselves, if this is the end of this four-year run together, to do it the right way. Like, stay together, fight as hard as you can. If you can turn it and win four or five, go to the finals, great. And even if you can't, feel good about how you went about losing in the Eastern Conference Finals.
All right, Cavaliers getting hammered all week. Stephen A. Smith, Jeff Van Gundy, Mark Jackson, you name it. Getting hammered for most of the week for their effort. How do they respond at home?
They deserve it.
Of course they deserve it. And I'm sorry, Green Teamers or Celtics fans. I mean, that is the compelling question. I know what you are. I know what you're going to do. You're going to be well-coached. You're going to play hard. You're going to fight to the end, and you're not going to give up. And, you know, I know what you're going to do. I don't know what the Cavs are going to do. I still don't.
I mean, the Celtics really have, like, forged this identity, right? Over the last few years, even as the players have changed, the identity is largely the same. Cleveland's identity is quitting. I mean, really, if you get down to it, like with the new roster that they have, the identity of that team to me is one that will fold up shop if things get hard.
Okay, so obviously a lot of that this week, but here on Agenda Free Friday, we do everything. It's 617-779-0985. Here is Pete in Delaware. Go ahead, Pete.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good.
Hey, a question regarding Danny Ainge. Going into next year, trying to evaluate a roster to make it a championship team when you had two guys out in the playoffs and one you didn't even play with at all. How do you guys see that? I mean, how do you guys see that? I mean, I think he's going to have a tough time because he never had Gordon Hayward once. They could get to the finals this year. You know, we've always talked about maybe go out and get Anthony Davis. I think it's going to be intriguing to see what Danny thinks. We always talk about what Danny thinks about getting a championship team. But if you get to the finals without your two best players, how do you go about evaluating that? Don't you think that's going to be kind of difficult?
Maz?
I zoned out. I was checking something on the Red Sox payroll. I was checking something on the Red Sox payroll.
I think the whole thing is going to be interesting next year. I told you yesterday, Gordon Hayward's a guy to watch out for. But in terms of, I mean, I think the whole thing's going to be interesting. I mean, it should be better. I mean, we're all salivating at the thought of Irving and Hayward coming back. And you know how good they're going to be, but that's going to be a challenge. You take the ball away from two young kids who are trying to earn their money and get their contract and establish themselves in Tatum and Brown. And if you defer to the young kids over the old guys, how does Gordon Hayward feel? Because he came here to be the man. And I told you, I'm more worried about Gordon Hayward than I am about Kyrie Irving. And then the whole team building thing, did they think that they would have to make another move? And now they don't? I wonder about that. And then Vinny, our producer there at Comcast, says on the Zach Lowe podcast today, Brian Windhorst said the only moves the Celtics would make now is for Karl Anthony Towns in Minnesota because there's trouble in paradise in Minnesota. They're not getting along, and maybe there's a move or two to be made there, and Karl Anthony Towns is the only one that he guesses.
I love Karl Anthony Towns.
Would you give up Jason Tatum for him?
Ooh, that's a toughie. Probably, yes.
You would?
Yeah, you know how I feel about big guys. I like the big guys. So, again, I would trade Brown before Tatum. I'm not sure they're going to have their choice. But to get Karl Anthony Towns, yeah, I would do it.
Okay, so, like, I think the whole piece, whatever Pete specifically was asking there, the whole piece is going to be fascinating. I mean, there are classy problems, right? You have a lot of good players who are going to want the ball. That's good. That's a good problem to have. And you still have assets, and there's still maybe some dominoes to fall across the league where you get someone who's, I want to say, a real stud, not implying that your guys aren't, but, you know, a 7-foot stud. And they're going to have, like, these options and how they weigh all that and put that all together. You know, Stevens is going to have to do something next year that he's never done before, which is manage big egos and, like, that thing.
So, to me, the solution there is you put Tatum on the bench. He's he's still a second-year player. You just tell him you're going to have to wait a little bit. And then after the following year, Hayward's up. Tatum starts again. No problem there. Like, to me, that's the easy fix. And on Towns, do you know what Karl Anthony Towns shot from three-point land this year?
I thought you'd go to his free throw percentage because that's usually where you start.
It's over 40%, right?
42% from three-point land. That's as a seven-footer.
I was going to say, it's 7 foot one.
And the year before, he shot 36.7. For his career,
he's a stud.
He's 387 from three-point land. That's better than Isaiah Thomas. Like, that's ridiculous for a guy that size.
Since you were looking up your numbers, Maz, here's Josh and Gloucester on the Red Sox and their payroll going forward. Go ahead, Josh.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to be doom and gloom, but you enjoy this Red Sox year or two while we can. I know Maz's been preaching for a while. There's a window, and it's closing. I mean, I know you said they have payroll flexibility. They have some money coming off the books, but I think you're forgetting how many players on the team have big, big raises coming to Mookie. He's going to make another $8 million.
He'll be one of the highest paid players in the game, Josh, if not the highest.
His salary will double, yeah.
Oh, I mean, look at Detroit. I've enjoyed many of the, Dombrowski has brought winning baseball to this team since he's been here the last 2 years, but there is a dark future ahead. I don't know if it's 2 years or 3 years or 4 years, but enjoy this Red Sox near future because it doesn't look so bright.
Okay, well, yeah, thanks, Josh. Maz, you've been saying this for a while, but then you did say in the first segment they'll have money to go sign Machado if they want.
Well, I'm saying if they want to go get a superstar, they can be on the market this offseason. What I also said to the caller was, I can give you an answer, but you're not going to like it. And one of them was, you're going to have to trade one of your arbitration-eligible players. Someone like that's going to have to go if you're going to save the money. Whether it's Betts, whom I don't think they'll trade, or Bogarts. Bogarts' number is going to go up to $15 million next year, especially if he keeps playing like this. Maybe it's not quite 15, but if he has this kind of year, his number is going to go up. So you'll save another $7 off of this year's total, blah, 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 blah. You know, but the bottom line is, if you want to clear the space to go get a big guy, you can do it. You can do it. But I still believe that the window they have with these young guys is relatively short.
Well, here's, I think, the answer. You can't have it all. You can't have it all, meaning you can't keep this entire young core and go get Bryce Harper or Machado.
No.
You're going to have to sacrifice some of that young core, and instead of paying them, then you sign your free agent. But you can't have it both. You can't add Machado to Bogarts, Betts, Benintendi, and all those young kids' Devers that they have right now. Some of those are going to have to go.
I mean, if J.D. Martinez keeps hitting like he's hitting, I don't know that you have to go out of your way to go get Bryce Harper. I'm not saying that he's a bad player. Of course you'd like him. I love Bryce Harper. He'd be great for the marketability of the team. But we were talking during the offseason about, do you wait on Martinez, pass over him, and then go get Bryce Harper at the end of the year? The idea of doing both, that's a lot. Yes.
Okay, we've got Pete in Essex. Hi, Pete.
Hey, Mike, I just wanted to, this week something under the radar happened with all the Celtics stuff. But if you notice, the Patriots released their 2017 third-round pick, Antonio Garcia, from Troy State. To get him, at 85, they gave up their pick at 96, and they also gave up their fourth at number 124. So basically, that's three picks that you got absolutely nothing out of. And this year we were screaming that we needed players, and I just thought it was interesting. It's another example of, do you value the draft at all? Do you?
Sure they do. But Pete,
got nothing.
Yeah, big whiff. Big whiff on that pick. Big whiff.
I mean, I would say the 2017 draft overall, for the most part, was a disaster. Like, now look, ultimately you want to...
They only made four picks.
Yeah, well, but I'm saying if you want to draw the line, ultimately...
Can you help me? Dedrick Wise, Antonio Garcia...
Derek Rivers.
And then there was one more who was gone.
Right, that was McDermott, the tackle, right? And so they were all late.
Okay, so...
But you traded your first... So I said if you want to draw the line out, a first... Like, you traded a first for Brandon Cooks, who then got you a first back. But was Brandon Cooks worth it?
No.
I say no. You know, Coney Ealy, they traded a pick for, and I know that was just a move down in the draft. That wasn't worth it either, was it? Not even close.
Okay, there's still hope.
Dwayne Allen?
If Rivers and Dedrick Wise turn into players, you get two contributing defensive players out of one draft. That's not a bad draft. There's still hope for the draft. I'm not giving up on it. And I think they've drafted relatively well here the last several years. I think they've drafted well. That doesn't mean they're perfect. And that doesn't mean they don't miss. And Rivers is a big miss. That's a big whiff. If you're only drafting four players and one's in the third round that you spent capital to actually move up from and you don't get a snap out of him?
Garcia, you mean. Yeah.
Garcia, I'm sorry. Garcia, that's a That's a bad one. Yep, that's a whiff. There's a hits and misses. That's a big miss.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
See, I give up easier. That's just all that it is. When I've been wrong or my take isn't going to hold up, I try and give up as early as possible now and just sort of get it over with.
You pull a J.R. Smith.
I do. I pull a J.R. Smith. I am Jeff Green. I am the Jeff Green of the show.
No, you quit.
As soon as it looks like my take is running into any serious resistance, I'll just give up and turn the
And you make it sound like a positive.
No, I give
like
up.
Like I am somehow negative for fighting the good fight.
I'm a quitter. It's true.
Kid, did you hear?
What?
That douche Felg is a Green Teamer now.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now Mike Felger's one of us.
The Celtics wouldn't go away.
Not like Mads, that gloomy Gus.
I could take defiant.
Felger knows that the Celts are the best, and those other teams are bold.
We play the Warriors.
That's coming. They're going to be competitive games against the Warriors. The matchups are in your favor. On both ends of the floor, you've got more matchups that are in your favor. No question about it. God, how refreshing is that? Some creative license there, but we continue on an agenda-free Friday with your thoughts. Sean and Marbro, go ahead on the Celts.
Hey, guys. I was thinking about something, and watching this Cleveland Cavaliers team is like watching Felger and Maz do math live on the air. They just look lost. And it made me think about Danny Ainge and how if you were to vote for GM of the year after the playoffs, I don't know how the voting went at the end of the season, but if you did it now, I think people would look at what Ainge has done with losing the Hayward and Kyrie.
Sean, why after the playoffs? Who would get it before the playoffs?
Well, I'm just thinking, you could give it to Toronto, you could give it to Philly.
Toronto, what do they do? And Philly, that's the most overrated outfit I'm wondering if that process is a giant fraud. What did they do?
You're sleeping on Philly.
Well, all Philly has done is suck and draft, and they've hit on 1.5 guys. That's all they've done. What else have they done?
Yeah, but the only reason the Celtics were able to do it the way they did is because they got Brooklyn to suck for them.
Yeah, but then they hit on the picks.
Why, Philly didn't hit it on Embiid?
They've made like 6 of them. How long have they sucked for?
Well, I don't know if it's 6. How many is it?
Danny's damn 2-for-2 on those picks. Maybe 3-for-3 if you include Smart.
Philly's made 4.
Say so, and of the 4, they've got 1.5 players.
Okay, so it's too early to blow out Fultz, isn't it?
No.
To this point, it's 1.5.
I didn't really believe that question.
To this point, they got 1.5.
You don't need many in that league. I'm telling you, you're quitting on Philly too early.
By you saying that, Maz, you think that they're good as presently constituted. They still got to make changes.
Sure, yeah, they're not a championship team yet. They're not a championship team yet, no.
And you know what? Neither are the Celts. And so this is what Danny needs to complete the whole narrative. He needs those championships. He's got one in the 17, 18 years he's been here. Not enough for the adulation, in my mind. So he's got one thing left to complete the whole narrative, and that's, start stacking up some championships. But Outside of that thing, who in the league compares to what he's done here?
Oh, I don't know that anybody does. I mean, maybe Golden State.
Do you really, is that some masterstroke that Kevin Durant, quit on his team and then chased a championship?
No, but they won one without him. I mean, Curry, Thompson, Green, all draft.
Sure.
Right? All
okay,
in the
so
draft.
I'm talking about this specific year or this era, but fine. I mean, Golden State, yes.
I mean, so they're pretty close. Other than that, though, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find it.
Holy cow. Wally in Fall River on the Sox. Go, Wally.
Yeah, what's up, guys? A couple of things I want to hit on with the Red Sox. As far as David Price, the situation with him is till death do us part. We're stuck with this guy. No fool general manager is going to give him $127 million. I mean, we just have to grin and bear it with him. Just hope he pitches good and we get the most out of him. One other thing is the catching situation. If this continues with the way they're hitting, say in the next month, there's a guy out in Miami who wants to leave very bad, J.M. Realmuto. I wonder if you guys, I know Miami would like to...
Hey, Wally? Wally, can I just stop you there? You have any information on this player?
Realmuto?
Did he? I was going to say, how is his pronunciation?
No, his pronunciation was poor. Yeah, this is the guy that the Marlins, though, have said they want to keep. Like, they want to keep that guy. So he's only got, a year plus in the big leagues, I think it is, or maybe a couple? So I don't anticipate the Marlins moving him anytime soon. Like, I doubt if that player is going to become available.
David Price, since the whole Fortnite blow-up, he's had two good... I mean, Toronto was good. Last night was outstanding.
He was. He was really good last night.
So what's cause and effect? Is he more dialed in because they've taken the... Because they've taken the rattle away from the baby? They've ripped the headset off his head?
I think so.
And he's now focused on actual baseball as opposed to his virtual world? And that's what's going on? Or was the mild carpal tunnel syndrome a wake-up call? Or did the team call him out? Is that what's going on? Or did...
You know his antenna is up, so he hears all of this. And this is more of this. I think this is why you got how well he pitched in the postseason last year.
I'll show them. Or you hate me. I'm going to prove you all wrong, you haters. I hate all of you.
Is that
each one of you SOBs?
Is that what that is? Or
I think so, yeah.
Or is the mild carpal tunnel syndrome something that shows him, Dave, you're not really hurt. You're fine. And that gives him the peace of mind to go out and pitch? Like,
how about all of the above?
I mean, I don't know what it is, but it's something. I mean, you just can't. I mean, you have that thing with that's just that stupidity with the video game thing and that little mini blow up. And now he's 2-0 since? I mean, like, I'm sorry. That's just, there's a cause and effect in there somewhere.
Okay, but again, I say all of the above, because I think that that's what this guy is. He's got all these things zipping around on the inside of his head, and when they all start colliding into one another, you get what you got with the you know, allergies and the carpal tunnel syndrome and everything else. The other thing, let's not underestimate the fact that he pitched against the Baltimore Orioles, who blow. Boy, do they blow. What are they, like, second or last in the league in batting average?
I don't know, 12 straight on the road or something.
But they also don't hit. They're one of the worst hitting teams in the league. They suck.
And again, read into that ninth inning. I'm going to get it. I'm going to get this complete game shutout. I'm going to prove you. Oh, I want it so bad. I want it. Manny Machado's up. Oh, there goes a two-run home run. The pressure got a little tight there. Look, the stakes got higher in that ninth inning. He wanted it, and he gagged.
I'm with Murray on this. I think that's exactly what happened. There's one guy in that lineup you have to be careful of. Him. Otherwise, you know what the Orioles, they are. They're 14th in the league in OPS, and they are 14th in batting average. They're hitting .230 as a team. They suck.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Janta.
Magenta?
Janta.
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 Sometimes you have to wonder if there's a gas leak in the building.
Woohoo! Whoop-de-doo!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
A lot. Centers it! Kalorn! Score! Score! Kalorn! 3-2 Lightning with 8:03 left!
You miss that guy? Tampa play-by-play?
It's paining me because I'm actually rooting for the Lightning in this series, despite my friends who are Capitals fans. But, man, I hear that again, and it's just like, oh, what am I doing? It's tough to look myself in the mirror and know that I'm rooting for the Lightning when I have to hear that a-hole call their goals.
Yeah, I'm with Murray. That guy's irritating.
I'm still going to stick it in your neck!
Oh, God. Like every bad drunk at a sports bar ever.
Check that!
He's the angriest play-by-play man in the business.
Stick it in your neck!
Oh, God.
I don't care what any one of you says.
Rebound cleared! 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 By Tyler Johnson! I don't think this is going to be an icing! No! 9 seconds left. A final rush for the Caps. Carlson slides across ice Kuznetsov. He's checked by Cirelli. Shoots it toward the open net. He scores! He scores! The Lightning are going to win game four!
He sounds like he immediately has to shower when the game ends. Bag.
Seriously, though. Like, that guy wants to fight you.
Yeah! Yeah, let's go! Vasilevsky! Vasilevsky, save!
He's got to get
still going to stick it in your neck!
He's got to get the side eye the whole night up in that booth from everyone else that's up there. Like, oh, God.
So, if you've been like me and you've been sampling, you know, because again... the Red Sox are on. I got to watch more Red Sox than neutral site hockey. And the Celtics, so, like, I can't watch these games wire to wire, and I can't watch the 10 o'clock, you know, so, like, or the 9 o'clock starts even or too late. So I'm not investing full, you know, but I watched a good deal of that last night. That's just a setup. I watched a good deal of that Capitals game last night. I've seen a fair amount of that series. I've seen a little less of the Vegas thing, but enough for me to just have a general opinion of watching the other series that are still going on. And my general impression is this. You're really not that close. That's my general impression. Am I wrong to feel that way? When I watch these other games, and I watch the action, and the not just the intensity, But the intensity compared and combined with, is what I mean to say, the speed and the size of these teams. And I just look at the Bruins, I say, they've gotten faster, but are they fast enough to keep up with these guys, these teams? And they're certainly not big enough. Like, that stands out to me. Once you get past Chara and a few others, they're not fast enough. And they're guys who aren't big enough. And the guys who are big enough can't move Chara and Backes. It's like, who do the Bruins have that have that combination of size and speed that can grind like these teams are grind, or the intensity and the up and down? And then I see the defense cores on all these teams, except for Vegas, who I still can't explain, who are just an amazing story. I still can't explain. Because I watch Vegas, and I'll see Riley Smith flying around out there, bodying people, doing this size-speed thing that I just talked about, and he has neither. And he's soft, and I think he kind of sucks. But then I see him with Vegas in these games, I'm like, huh. Vegas, I can't explain to you. I can't. I can't explain Vegas. Winnipeg, I can explain to you. And Tampa and Washington, I can explain to you. And I watch those teams, and I say, the Bruins aren't really close to those teams. It feels like they're not. So I don't know. Am I wrong to feel that way?
So I think I said to you after the first couple of games of the Washington-Tampa series that Washington's forwards seem a lot bigger to me than the Bruins' forwards. Like, it stuck out to me. Because the Bruins couldn't get anywhere near than that. And Washington, those first couple of games, and hell, even in these last two, they haven't scored as much. But they're around the net constantly. Like, you can't push them out of there like you push the Bruins out of there.
So Washington has this, but, you know, what they have is the combination. You know, like Oshie, I love TJ Oshie. You know, he's can be really physical, and he's got good skill. And maybe it's just a question of age, where maybe Backes did look like that 10 years ago or 7 years ago or whatever. And he just can't move like that anymore. But I just feel like the Bruins' big guys are too slow, and their little fast guys are fast, but they're too whittle. And there's that combination, and it's just, you know, I feel like they're not. When I watch Washington and Tampa go up and down the ice, I say, you're not close. And you know what? Maybe I'm right, or that was proven in the Tampa series, because you weren't really close.
See, to me, it's especially noticeable in the forward group. Like, I don't know how you feel about it. But, like, what forwards do the Bruins have that have size and speed?
They really don't.
So I would say the two closest are Bergeron and DeBrusk.
I was going to say DeBrusk.
I mean, that's, you know, I looked at Bergeron, and Bergeron's 6'1". Like,
but he doesn't play big. That's not, I mean,
no,
he,
but he's, you
he's
know,
decent he, size.
Yeah, but he's not someone you can push out of there easily. Like Donato or, you know, Heinen. Those guys get shoved out of there easy. Bergeron's got a little strength to him. The Bruins, they're not strong enough.
I think they're, you know, they're clearly on the right path, and they're in the right direction, and they have the right idea. They're just not there yet. They're just, and just watching some of these games tells me they're just not there. Certainly when I look at the rosters and the size, speed, strength, and the, you know, the defense cores of Winnipeg, Tampa, Washington, a little less so on D, but just overall the way they play, heavy teams. I love all their goaltending. Even though there's some weak-ish goals in there, but I think Vasilevsky made some amazing stops last night. So did Holtby. I think Hellebuck is tremendous. So, like, I can explain those three teams, and I can look at them and say, you got a whole nother big step to go till you reach that level. Vegas, I still can't explain to you.
Well, a lot of it has to do with Marc-Andre Fleury. He's playing out of his mind.
So explain that. I mean, this is a guy who has been a puddle for the better part of 5 years. He's exposed in an expansion draft. He's just, like, supposed to be that, you know, that expansion fodder veteran guy who's done. And he is playing out of his boobs. And he has been, like, all year. You explain that to me. Like, how does that happen? Guy who's been on the downward trend for years to a point where he loses his job a couple times over in Pittsburgh is an afterthought expansion fodder. And now he's, like, Grant Fuhr out there like that. I can't explain Vegas front to end. Like, I see how they play. They're relentless, tremendous, like buy-in and all of that. But the roster still, like, Riley Smith, like, you, like, who are you? He's throwing his weight around there, like he's sticking his nose in there, like, you're soft little Sally. Well, since when did you play like this? I can't explain Riley Smith. I can't explain Mark Andre. I can't explain Vegas. Those other three teams, legit championship caliber roster, and you're not there. You're not them yet.
Boy, it's hard to not root for Vegas at this stage, isn't it?
Of course not. I mean, I want Washington because I want to see every dog has his day. I do want to see Ovechkin push through. So I would like to see Washington do it.
So you know what the perfect ending is? Washington gets and loses to Vegas. Like it'd be just like the Caps to lose the cup to an expansion team.
I need those Capitals tears. I need to remain losers.
You know Washington's never been in the conference final with Ovechkin?
Is this the first time?
I think this Ovechkin never has even made a conference final.
This is their first conference final in 20 years.
Yeah, so Ovechkin, that was the first time Ovechkin ever beat the Penguins. This is the first time Ovechkin has ever been in the conference final. You know how good they've been for how long? They've been at the top of the standings for how long? Since he's been in the league, you're just about.
They were up 2-0, and now it's a dead heat.
Oh, my God. Here comes the tight sphincters in Washington.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.